Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Oh boy, welcome to the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Ryan Recker filling in. Good morning to you, Kim.
Good morning. You look kind of like Hugh Hefner with a fuzzy robe.
I like to think I look more like the nature boy Ric Flair, but my wife warned me not to wear this. She said, this is a women's robe. So let me back up for a moment. I was sick this weekend and I wasn't feeling great. And it's one of those stupid things that when you get older, little things make you sick. I went to go see the doctor, my physical, the first one I probably ever received in the past 25 years. The last time I received a physical,
what?
Like a full checkup,
You're
was when I was
to go
playing.
Once a year.
It was high school sports. They forced you to do it when I played in high school. And then after that, I never saw a doctor ever, other than quick little emergencies, like something happened, I got to go see a doctor.
That might be your fault, Ryan.
So I go in and I get a full checkup. Everything's fine. And they said, you know what, it's probably been, I don't know, never since you got a tetanus shot. Let's catch you up to that. I took the tetanus shot on Friday morning. It made me sick. The tetanus shot did. So I was sick all weekend. And I thought, you know, I'm going to be in this cold basement. I want to wear this nice fluffy robe. My wife said, they're going to know it's a Liz Claiborne robe.
Like, now, this is I didn't see that robe. It was Liz Claiborne. You didn't have to admit that part, but now we all know.
I know, but I said I'm going to use it because I want to be comfortable because I wasn't feeling good. I don't want to get sick again. So I decided to wear the robe today. I hope that's okay with you guys. Not too
distracting. We'll allow it this one time. That is crazy, though. Yeah, I've heard a lot of people when you get those shots, you get pretty sick. But I guess at least you know it was from that and not the flu. That's what I recently had. And then my son was sick over the weekend. It's just that time of the year. It just seems like everyone I know is sick or has been sick recently. Our immune systems are all shot.
I know. It's pretty bad right now. All right. Let's get into the shortlist here.
The Mark Cox shortlist.
The opportunity, I think, to rebuild at the same time. And that's why we're already organizing a Marshall Plan. We already have a team of looking and reimagining LA 2.0.
I think that Gavin Newsom has already enough pressure on him. He should refrain from using terms like Marshall, referring to martial law when it comes to Los Angeles and California. I don't think anyone wants to allow him that power to implement a martial law. So he better back off a little.
When you're spending all your time worrying about running for president, all the time on the politics, none on the operations and management, this is exactly what happens.
That is in reference to Gavin Newsom. This is what happens when you spend your time on the campaign trail and trying to gain favor with your fellow Democrats rather than taking care of the people in the state you're supposed to be working for.
I'm generally pretty pro rolling out vaccines, but while they're trying to push that program, they also tried to censor anyone who is basically arguing against it.
Was it the Babylon Bee? They had a great headline for Mark Zuckerberg, which was the organization that totally doesn't censor you now admits they're going to stop censoring you, or something along those lines. So he comes back and now fully admits that the Biden administration and their people pressured them to, I mean, full court pressed them to squash anything that was anti-vaccine on their website, even when it was truthful. That's something else. That's a big revelation.
If you committed violence on that day, obviously you shouldn't be pardoned. And there's a little bit of a gray area there, but we're very much committed to seeing the equal administration of law.
Referring to January 6th pardons that are probably forthcoming with the Trump administration in 7 days. Can you believe that? 7 days from now, it's going to be Donald Trump, president of the United States again. Isn't that something, Kim?
The liberals have 7 days to collect themselves, because I'm sure there's a lot of meltdowns happening right now. People who think that Trump's going to quite literally put them in concentration camps and just do all kinds of crazy things. And you think back to his first term, and obviously none of that happened. But for whatever reason, they think that that is about to happen this go around.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to blame all the problems that I have and say that I thought Project 2025 was going to fix this. Like, if I go to McDonald's and they forget to put my fries in the bag, I'll say, I thought Project 2025 said they were going to fix this. So they made this boogeyman out of a lot of different things. I noticed that during the election itself, that right immediately after, the ones that hate Donald Trump and just voted for Kamala Harris, either out of hate for Trump or maybe they just liked Harris, I don't know, they were not in a good spot. Like the immediate week after, they were in a really rough spot. But I've noticed as of late that they've kind of changed their demeanor. I think they've gotten to the acceptance point of where they are. I don't see a lot of meltdowns anymore. Are you still seeing the meltdowns?
Maybe behind the scenes. I don't think there's quite as many public meltdowns, because remember in the beginning we were seeing a lot of the ladies were shaving their heads and just doing all kinds of things, you know, vowing to never sleep with a man and ever,
yeah,
you know, right. Like not, I guess not even a husband. So, yeah, it was very odd the way that people reacted to this. But you're right. We're not seeing quite as many, although I'm not on TikTok. And maybe that's where a lot of these meltdowns are still happening, though. That could be in jeopardy, too, depending on what happens here.
Yeah. So if Donald Trump drove out all the crazies from going around, sleeping around, then I got to tell you, Donald Trump did a solid for a lot of guys out there.
I was going to say, if you can get people to stop sleeping around, that's actually a good thing.
That's right.
And of itself, that is a fantastic thing. Now, if you're not with your husband, maybe, you know.
Yeah. One other thing, and of course, the fires in Los Angeles are such a huge story. And this will be an interesting thought for you, Kim, because you do news and have done it for many years. Last week, there was the funeral for Jimmy Carter. And this was when the fires were full rage. Like, we're not even, I mean, we're like 24 hours into this wildfires that are going on and burning down parts of Los Angeles. And I thought, man, if I were a news agency, this would be a tough thing, because I would have to debate either airing the funeral for Jimmy Carter or keeping on the wildfire coverage, because to me, the wildfire coverage was a bigger story than the Jimmy Carter funeral. And this week, the wildfires are, I don't want to downplay it, but they're letting kids go back to school today. So it's not under control. There's still a lot of problems with it. And of course, the long-term ramifications of how they're going to stop something like this in the future, if they can. Now we have a story about perhaps more Hamas hostages being released to back to Israel. And we don't even know the full number of hostages that they have right now, because we don't know how many of them are alive or dead. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the tragedy with all of this. But we read that all of a sudden Hamas is showing a change of heart and they're willing to release more of these Israeli hostages. That's going to be, of course, I think that's going to be the biggest story this week, right?
I would think so. I guess depending on how everything shakes out with the fires in Los Angeles, because to your point, I mean, they are allowing kids to go back to school, but then you think about how many thousands of kids don't even have their old school. It burned down, and maybe they're shifting a lot of those kids to different area schools that have not been touched by this fire. I agree that that would be a hard decision to make. And I saw, like, Fox, for example, they were staying on different stories. Like, they were covering the Los Angeles fires, and then they were one of the last networks to go over to the Jimmy Carter funeral, because obviously both are big and you want to be able to cover both. But there are so many lives that are impacted right now in this Los Angeles fire. And you hear about how they had the break from all the wind over the last couple of days. And then I'm hearing this morning as I'm driving in about the fact that the wind is supposed to pick back up. And you can just imagine the fear that these people have as they're watching. Have you seen the app that everyone's been talking about? If you live in the LA area, it's like called Watch Duty or something. And it tracks all the fires and the different alerts, things like that. I'm guessing it has evacuation orders on it as well. And it would be one of those things where it's like you're obsessively checking your app to see where it's at because you're worried that you're going to be the next neighborhood that's told you have to get out.
Right. That's scary. We're going to talk about that a lot during the course of the show today. And of course, there could be some breaking news when it comes to negotiations to get those hostages back home, those poor people. And, you know, some of them could even be American citizens. We don't know exactly which hostages they're referring to. I think the number I saw was 34, but who knows? It could even be more. It could be less, but we'll see how those negotiations play out. And with the wildfires, I saw this other thing. Apparently, because they're rich, they have the ability to hire private firefighters, some of these people. I don't know if you saw that. So we'll get to that too. And I saw this one story, Kim, that made me think of you in Ukraine. So I want to bring that up a little bit later in the hour too. But we got a lot to get to. If you want to reach out to the show, you can. Or if you want to find me online, Ryan Recker Radio. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show, 97.1 FM Talk.
And so last week, Mark sent me an anthem from, I think it was the Atlanta Falcons game. This is a band called it's a trio of females called the Castellows, and that's who we're hearing our anthem from today.
So do I need to guess the theme today, Carl? Because I think I know.
No.
I don't know?
This album was released on this day in 1968.
I was going to say songs live that Governor Mike Parson plays on his way out today. He has an outro song that he plays on his way back to the farm. This would be a good one.
Well, you know, we should mention, Ryan, that the reason you're hosting today is that Mark Cox was invited by the governor and lieutenant governor to the inauguration.
Fantastic.
Which is why you're hosting today.
He's a big shot, that Mark Cox. I got to tell you, he really is a mover and a shaker. Mm-hmm. So that is really cool. I did not know that.
When we were there last Wednesday, Mark and I were there on Wednesday, they both made sure you're coming, right? And he and his wife, Michelle, are going to be there today.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Way to go, Mark Cox. Well, he's been in the game for a long time, and he's done some fantastic work, and I'm glad that he gets the recognition he deserves for that.
Well, the lieutenant governor especially believes that Mark's endorsement helped him win.
Oh, awesome. Mm-hmm. That's really good. Well, let's keep that rolling, and hopefully they remember that every time you request an interview.
Yeah, really. Wouldn't that be nice?
We'll see.
Every time. Don't you forget it.
Yes, that's Mark's MO right there.
Don't you forget it, him yelling at someone.
Yeah.
So Missouri's 58th governor will be sworn into office today, and Mark Cox will be there. So congratulations to all involved and those that helped. I wonder where he's seated. Is it assigned seating? Is that how? I don't know how that works, actually.
I know the ball takes place in the entire Capitol. Like, it's wide-ranging in that scope. But I don't know about the inauguration itself.
Right. So the wildfire death toll rises to 24. And I got to tell you, you see the photographs. Cadaver dogs going around searching for things right now. It's not a great scene. But kids are going back to school. And Kim, you're saying the wind's about to pick back up. That's very frightening for a lot of different people.
That's what I heard. Wind
man, you don't want
up.
That. I saw this story on the New York Post. L.A. millionaires shell out $2,000 an hour for private firefighters as overwhelmed city abandons neighborhoods to the flames. So if you got that type of money, you're living in a $10 million home. You have the type of pocket change to pay someone to stay behind and fight the fires on your personal property during that point.
How are they getting water, though? Because that's been one of the biggest issues. Now, I do know some planes. Have you been watching those planes that have been flying on the ocean and they scoop up a bunch of water and then they're dropping it over the fire? I mean, that is really impressive and probably scary. And then one of the other planes that was trying to douse some, I don't know if it was like just a flame retardant or water, but anyway, they were hit by a drone. Somebody who, it was just a, like a hobbyist, had a drone and was flying it far too close, and that plane had to be grounded.
Yeah.
Come on, people.
That drone operator's toast. I think they said you could face jail time or in a $75,000 fine.
Good, because they was, I mean, that's huge that they had to ground the plane.
And it's probably some YouTuber that you know you just hate. Like, you watch one video and realize you hate that person because they're so obnoxious into themselves.
I wonder if it was even a local, or I doubt it was a local, because the last thing they're probably thinking about right now is, oh, let me fly my drone.
They're on the run.
Yeah, they're running for their lives. I bet it's some out-of-stater who, like you said, is doing this for their YouTube channel or something like that. And I don't know. And then I also heard that there was a homeless man who had been taken into custody because they're now believing at least some of these fires were arson.
Yeah.
I believe that.
Taking advantage of it.
Because everyone wants to point to climate change, and I don't think that that's what's at play here. Like, I don't agree with that. I think there's something bigger. I mean, this is January. I think that there was poor management from the city and the state as a whole, but I do believe there was probably some arson involved in many, if not all, these fires.
Can't both be right? Can't the arsonist homeless person's name be climate change?
You know what? That's probably what they mean when they're saying that. First name climate, last name change.
See, we're both right. No, it's such a ridiculous way to deflect the responsibilities of the elected officials. Oh, no, it's just the imaginary boogeyman. Climate change is the reason why all of this happened. It's their way of not accepting responsibility for their incompetence. So you have these millionaires that are, you know, you're right. Where are they getting this water? Are they just getting tankers full of Evian water because they can afford it straight from the glacier?
I need more Dasani, please.
More Dasani.
No, I mean, you're right. Where are they getting this water? I mean, heck, if I could afford it, I don't blame them. I would want that too. I mean, these are people's livelihoods. Yeah. I was reading about some guy who had lived in the same home for 50 plus years and did not want to evacuate, stayed and died. And I get why it's very hard to leave that home and all the memories, and you feel like this is, I built this and I have a life here, but your life cannot be replaced. Your home can.
Yep. Soy milk. They can fight it with like big tankers of soy milk. I'm trying to think of what more Los Angeles friendly for something like that. But it's, it is a lot of money. And I got to imagine some of them that have lived there forever, what they bought it for versus what it's worth today. And the looters, you heard Fox News talking about there's more people arrested for looting than there are people that have died far in this wildfire. The people that are going around trying to take advantage of that situation, I really think you should be able to chop off a hand, kind of like old school way of dealing with
that.
These looters.
I would.
You can let them pick. We'll be humane. We'll let them pick left or right hand.
Or if they steal a lot, maybe both. They do that every time. I remember covering tornadoes here, even in the St. Louis area, and that's one of the first things people do is they loot. Are you just the scum of the earth if that's what you do? Seriously.
Why, yes. And then you have the opportunists that come in after that try to buy the property for pennies on a dollar, too. It's essentially rich people looting at that point. All right. When we come back, Kim on a Whim. Looking forward to that. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in on 97.1 FM Talk.
Kim on a Whim.
Obviously, tattoos are not all that uncommon, but how about a tattoo on a 9-year-old? Would you ever let your 9-year-old daughter get a tattoo?
Crazy talk. Any parent that would do that, allow their kid to get a tattoo. That's bad news.
I agree. Supposedly, a couple from Turkey was, for whatever reason, in Arizona. I don't know if they went there specifically to get this tattoo, because I have learned that tattoo has basically no regulations. The state doesn't even require you to be licensed to practice to tattoo people in Arizona. It's one of the least regulated states for tattoo artists. Now, of course, just because it's legal doesn't mean it's ethical, and I would argue that this is not appropriate. But so back to this Turkey couple. The couple goes to Arizona, and this 9-year-old girl says she wants to get a tattoo of Donald Trump on her neck, which is very interesting. I don't know why this girl is such a big Donald Trump fan. And of all places to get that tattoo, you want it on your neck. So the tattoo artist convinces her, you know what, let's get something maybe a little less, you know, out there. Let's do an American flag on your arm, which she did.
Okay.
Tattoo artist posts about it online and is just getting reamed for it. All kinds of negative reviews. listened to one of the local stories in Arizona, one of the local news stations, rather. They went out and covered this, and they talked to some people reacting to this news about the 9-year-old girl getting a tattoo.
No way. No. No, that's crazy. I wouldn't let my daughter, underage, get any tattoo.
No, I don't agree. I think they should wait a while.
Meanwhile, this mom of three says,
I think if you let your teenagers do what they want, they slow it down on it quicker. If you tell them they can't, they're going to find a way and they're going to do it three times.
I repeat, do not listen to her parenting advice. That's terrible advice. Let your kid do whatever they want because they're going to do it anyway. No,
terrible,
no,
right.
No. You need to have boundaries. I get the logic behind that. I get why parents fear that. And let's be real. Many of us probably did that. We were told no and we did it anyway, or we found a different way. But that is just not the solution, is to just let your kid do whatever you want. And it is very interesting to me, Ryan, that a number of these people who are complaining, who are writing bad reviews, saying the tattoo artist was terrible for allowing this 9-year-old to get a tattoo, the parents were terrible, they might be some of the same people who were okay with a minor getting a sex change.
Oh, sure.
You know?
Did you see the tattoo?
I did.
Was it good?
I would not get it. I don't think it's good. I think it looks like the American flag from like Old Navy, you know, like the little kids wear.
Oh, no.
It's not great. She already went back for a touch-up. She got it in 2023 and then went back in 2024 to get a touch-up. And maybe that was when he posted it to social media and is probably regretting it now because it's just, like I said, getting him so much backlash.
Wait, so was this person traveling in the U.S., left and came back, or were they just residents from Turkey that don't have citizenship here in the United States?
The article said they were out of state. So I don't think that they live in Arizona. Now, I don't know if they live somewhere else in the United States and they came to Arizona, if they were just there and said, let's get a tattoo, or if they researched this and specifically went there knowing that there's so little regulation about tattoos, because not all states do this. Like you do have to have parental consent in this case for a 9-year-old, but still, as long as the parents could be strung out on who knows what, and they could be like, sure, yeah, get the tattoo. I mean, that's awful. The guy said that most of the minors he tattoos are 15 years old, which is still, in my opinion, far too young. I think you should have to be officially an adult to get a tattoo, because even if you want to get it removed, and I don't have any tattoos, but even if you want to get it removed, I've heard that it can be very painful and, I'm guessing, expensive.
Yeah. No, I love the guy has his defense. He's like, guys, hold on. Wait, hear me out. She's not the only minor that I've tattooed. There's been many.
Yeah, maybe don't admit that.
Yeah, no kidding. So you could just go in Arizona at any age and get a tattoo.
As long as you have parental consent. But
parental consent.
I mean, are they really going to check and be like, let me make sure that these are actually your parents? You know? They're not going to look into that. So you could just drag someone from the street and say, hey, this is my mom. She says, yes, go ahead and get that tattoo on your face. I'd like a teardrop under my eye, please.
Now,
my mom says it's okay.
Well, one of the problems with tattoos is when
somebody.
I want a matching tattoo like this lady.
Someone.
I believe that's the prison thing.
What happens, I've heard that too.
If you murder someone, you get a raindrop tattoo.
Yeah, but what happens, like, when you're older, your skin gets droopier, so it messes with the tattoos. But when you're young, you're still growing. Does it stretch the tattoo out?
Ooh.
What does it do?
Good question.
And I don't know if she'll regret it. Probably not. But I think the regret will be the tattoo artist when he... Well, you know what? It could probably work both ways. He's probably out there now getting ridiculed, but at the same time, there's a lot of 10-year-olds that are bugging their parents. See, this 9-year-old got it.
Oh, I'm sure.
And she's 9. I'm 10. I should be able to get a tattoo.
I'm sure.
I won't even give my kid a cell phone. Like, why would you give him a tattoo? How dangerous that stuff is.
Terrible parenting. I just don't understand how people think that a 9-year-old could be in their right mind to make a decision like that. That's life-changing. And this is right here, like I said, on her arm, her upper arm. And it's something that's visible. It's not like it's a really tiny one on her ankle. And even then, I wouldn't agree with it. But the fact is, this is something that is visible. Like if you're going to a job interview in the summer and you have, you know, a nice blouse on or something and it's shorter sleeved, you would see that. And what if that's a reason why someone wouldn't hire you? I don't know. I mean, I see people with all these tattoos, and I'm thinking, like, don't you think about that when you are, if you're looking to get a job, you know, there can be some that can be tasteful, no doubt, for sure.
You know, but I'd find ways. You're like, man, I grew up in a rough area. My babysitters had tattoos, and they were 10.
My babysitters, they got their tattoo when they were 9.
Yeah, that's right.
It's rough around here.
Yeah, that's rough. I live in a rough neighborhood. Let me tell you, it's like a Rodney Dangerfield bit.
Carl will be impressed. I do know who Rodney Dangerfield is.
Because you saw Back to School.
Nope, not that one. I saw...
Caddyshack.
Caddyshack?
Probably Caddyshack. I feel like that was the one that I watched. Yeah. Who knows? Think how gross that Donald Trump tattoo, though, would have looked.
Oh, especially right on her neck.
A small neck of a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
I know.
How many
You're right,
adults?
It would stretch.
Like, what is that? Like, then you have to explain. Oh, no, it's a real tattoo of Donald Trump.
And would what if she starts to hate cartoon? Donald Trump? She loves him now, but what if he
has... I don't know. I say if you're passionate enough to get a tattoo, that odds are you'll probably like him for a while.
Debbie on Facebook goes, so you get a butterfly tattoo, you turn 90, and it turns back into a cocoon.
Reverse
like a metamorphosis. Maybe if you start out getting the little cocoon, maybe as you age, you know, you get the cocoon as a 9-year-old, and then it becomes the butterfly when you're older, and then it's like a full life cycle.
Yeah. So do you question the parenting of this child? You question that they're... parenting needs to be taken under closer examination. Let's say examine other parts of their parenting to see if they are qualified for this child.
That and the tattoo artist. I don't agree with the tattoo artist doing this. I agree. I understand it's money, but
a
9-year-old?
Get a neon sign. We tattoo kids.
Yeah, we allow. Bring your toddler in here. Want a tattoo? We'll tattoo whatever kind of tattoo they want. We'll do it. Newborns. Before you get your newborn pictures, your fresh 48, come get a tattoo on your newborn. We're happy to do it.
This guy to look nice.
This guy with the Alliance of Professional Tattooists, he was even scolding this. He was saying, you know, this is not a good look for us. This kind of makes all of us look bad. It just gives us a bad rap that we're people grouping us all together saying, oh, yeah, look at these, you know, tattoo artists who are willing to do whatever just to make a dollar and all kinds of things. And I would agree. It is not a good look for tattoo artists. Yep.
So you said this was family from Turkey?
That's what this article says, although there is a spelling error. This is on Yahoo is where it's from.
They grab their stories from other places and just basically rip and post it, and they give very little credit. Is it possible this is a cultural thing? Like in Turkey, this is common. We just don't know it. Where like all their kids are tattooed, you can go over to Turkey right now and to a fourth grade classroom, and they're all boasting different tattoos.
Maybe this is like a rite of passage before you go into the double digits there in Turkey. You have to get a tattoo.
Right, you're not. It's a who's who of who's cool or not if you have the tattoo on your arm, and it shows that you've fully made it into adulthood. Like it's their way of showing it.
Oh, here we go. According to him, the family was. See, this is a spelling error, was from Turkey and told him it was a tradition in their family to get tattoos.
Family.
Yes.
So they all have Donald Trump tattoos?
That would be a great question. What are these other tattoos? They were just very grateful to be here in the United States. They were very grateful. They said they saw Donald Trump as a hero.
Well, like, what is it? Is it American Samoa? Where that's pretty common. Like you see a lot of athletes come from those islands where they're all tattooed. It's like a cultural thing. So when they come and play here, like let's say they get drafted or recruited for football, they make it to the United States and they're just full body tattoos already. And you're like, oh, that's interesting. You're like, you might have to have got that when you're a child, like under the age of 18.
First one here got when I was 9 years old. Oh, yeah, the sleeve. How long does that take and how painful is that?
Right. And there's got to be, you know, at that age, you're like, okay, it starts with bluey and then it goes up to like.
It's like your whole life.
Your whole life of things that you enjoyed on
then you
PBS,
get like a Then you get like
Arthur.
A Scarface tattoo when you're older. Like you just kind of see, yeah, what you were into. You're like, oh, yeah, this was clearly from the 90s. This is from the early 2000s. Yeah. Oh, yeah, this was when I was really into Boy Meets World. I remember that. Look at my Corey Matthews tattoo.
Corey Matthews. You say Corey Matthews. I think Topanga.
Oh, of course you think Topanga. Topanga is every guy's crush, probably.
Of course.
She was a babe.
But, You go all the way up the arm, you're right. And then you finally make it to, what's something that every, like, you'd have, like, the Matrix. Like, you think of pop culture things that everyone was into. I thought it was the deepest movie ever made. Like, you just keep going, going, going. And until you, where we are today, where you get Donald Trump on your neck.
What does that even symbolize if you want Donald? I mean, I'm a fan of Donald Trump, but I don't think it's necessary to get a Donald Trump tattoo anywhere on my body, especially not my neck, of all places.
Yeah, that's a solid no. I'm going to encourage my kids not to get tattoos. I don't have any, and I'm going to do my best to prevent them from getting any either. I'm going to really, really push hard, and I'm going to be exactly the opposite of what that other lady said at the end of that audio clip, which is, oh, they're going to do it anyway, so just let them do it.
Let them do it. You know what? They're going to do drugs anyway. Just give them the cocaine. Let them snort it while it's under your supervision. Isn't that better, right? They're doing cocaine in your house. You can control it and take their keys away. That's probably what she would say.
There's a lot of things you can put into that frame and realize it's a terrible idea and terrible parenting, too. Now, it makes me wonder how her kids grew up and, like, what they're into right now. Like, you could just, the way it sounds, it's so My Name is Earl is the way it sounds. Like, this is straight out of the trailer park type of way talking. You don't want to do that.
Yeah, not exactly classy.
No, not at all. All right, Kim. When we come back, by the way, I saw a story that made me think of you in Ukraine, and I thought this would so be Kim if she was living in Ukraine right now. So let's do that after the break. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show, 97.1 FM Talk. And welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Ryan Recker filling in. And there was a story that really grabbed my attention because I thought, if Kim lived in Ukraine, this would be Kim.
I'm nervous.
It's from NPR. Let me just read the headline. How these suburban moms in Ukraine manage grief by training to down Russian drones.
What?
So cool.
Tell me more, please.
They live outside Ukraine. Some of them are teachers. Some of them are veterinarians. And, you know, on their free time, they just look for Russian drones and shoot them down. Like, that's what they do. And they train for, like, their ballistics. They got the big guns. I mean, we're talking, like, mount down, I don't know what you call them, turrets or whatever they would be. But they just kind of, like, hang out. And if they see a Russian drone, they just shoot them down out of the air. Exactly. I said, wow, I could see Kim doing that, like, living in the suburbs, looking for Russian drones and just downing them whenever they come by, if they get close to their property. I love the idea. In fact, it shows that everyone in Ukraine is kind of pitching in their own way.
Doing their part. Put the kids down and then have my iced tea on the patio and you see a drone. Time to get the kids up. What a productive nap.
And if you want, you know, I don't know if it's illegal to install one of these on your property in the United States. You might need a permit. But it's probably not a bad idea just to be prepared just in case if you want to take drones down. Like, let's say there's a wildfire and, you know, there's enthusiast drones coming by your property and now the firefighters can't get their equipment through. Shoot them, those drones, out of the sky and get the firefighters a clear airway path back to your place.
Seriously. But
it shows them they're in military fatigues and, you know, they dress the part when it happens. They're not in their robe like I am.
Your
ladies'
robe.
They're drinking, sipping their coffee. Yeah, they're not in their ladies' robe, mysterious robe or whatever. And it's one of those stories I thought, you know, I guess there's all kinds of different ways you can pitch in. And that's kind of that's one of the ways that I think would be a fun way to pitch in. Just, like, start shooting drones out of the sky. Now, Kim, would that be you? Am I getting the wrong impression or not?
I could get down with that. That sounds like it'd be fun, especially if it were Russian ones.
Yeah.
Speaking of drones, by the way, this is where my brain's going. What the heck happened to the New Jersey drones? Why have we just not heard anything more about them? I mean, I understand there are bigger stories happening right now, like the LA fires. But did you notice even before that, it was like we just stopped talking about them?
You know, that's a good question. Did they stop? Like, are drones still out there? Or that's a good question because I don't really see them reported as much. Mm-mm. It kind of lost the excitement when everyone admitted to them. And why is it that when the government says nothing to fear, then that's when the story starts to die down? Like, that's when it should ramp up. Like, as soon as the government says there's nothing to fear, you realize, oh, there's something bigger going on here.
Yeah, I don't trust that.
that's like when you go and you double down on your coverage. There's got to be like honest journalists out there covering it still. I just don't know about it. But all things considered, like you look at the southern border and the amount of illegal immigrants that were pouring through, none of the major news media ever gave it the attention that it was warranted to get. Very little of them even went to the border. And I can't think of any of them on the major news networks that actually went into Mexico, for example, and tried to report on it from that side. There was independent news organizations that would do that sort of thing. They would go out and give the full account of what was going on. But you think about it, it's not like any of the major news networks cared to tell the truth of what was going out there. So if something as big as, you know, 10 or 20 million people flooding the southern border, even more over the last couple of years, gets zero attention, I can see why drones get tossed aside so quick. They just don't care about the big stories.
Mm-hmm. Well, and now's the perfect time for some of these illegals to come across our border because the focus is all on LA, and rightfully so. But I mean, I would think this is kind of their last effort. Like, let's get in before Trump takes office, and they'll just hope that they can somehow manage to not be deported once he's, you know, officially president.
So what you're saying is there's a masterful conspiracy going on to try to avert our eyes away from the southern border right now.
Well, possible. It's a good time for them to come across.
Well, that's the thing. The people that were looking at the southern border, Donald Trump wins or loses, either way, it was going to enable people to try to flood through until he gets into office. So let's say Donald Trump lost. They realized, hey, it's going to be open. So, you know, the little effort they took, at least with the Biden administration, took to try to stop the flow because it looked bad for him when he was running for reelection, that little effort he tried to take would be gone, because if he was reelected or Kamala Harris was reelected, there'd be no point in holding back, right? The election's over, so they don't have to try to make it look better. If Donald Trump wins, they realize, okay, there's no reason to hold back because Donald Trump's going to tighten it up, so we're just going to take our hands off of it. So the intermediate point between the November election and January 20th, they knew there would be a major influx of people coming through the border either way. So maybe they just needed a couple of governmental stories to try to draw the attention away from it. I like this. We're going to turn this into conspiracy talk here for a moment, because all of this seems to be lining up. Where's Alex Jones when you need him?
Yeah, he is the king of this.
He would so be on top of this. But I can't really do the Alex Jones impersonation because, you know, the kids are still sleeping and I'm trying not to get too loud. But I can tell you, I can go down the Alex Jones rabbit hole of like funny meme videos on YouTube for hours. It's great. He's still out there, though. He's still doing his thing. I wonder how he's doing. Coming up after the break. Yeah, Donald Trump's not a fan of FEMA. I don't think you should be either. That's coming up on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.